Tonight I have a one-verse message, okay? A one-verse message. And the message tonight is to wise up to Satan. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. He's talking about his credentials, and he's talking about all the struggles that they're having in the church. There was a lot of moral issues in the church. There were a lot of faith issues in the church. And things were getting right. But he also acknowledged that things could happen inside the church that could take all those victories away. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he writes this warning. He says, we need to follow God lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. You know, what we need to do is we need to be aware of who Satan is and what he can do. He is on the warpath. He is out to attack. And he wants to disgrace the kingdom of God. He wants to be God himself. And so tonight, we need to understand some things. The first thing is that Satan is always looking for an opportunity to get the upper hand. He's always looking for an opportunity to gain an advantage. He's always looking for an opportunity to defeat a Christian. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, a very simple verse, it says, neither give place to the devil. See, that's a decision that we make. We should not give ground to the devil. We should not let him have a foothold in our life. We should never consider his ways. That was the problem of Israel. That was a problem with some of the churches in Revelation. And so the issue is, Satan is always looking for an opportunity, and we need to be on the lookout. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says here in the first part of this verse, it says, be sober. Be vigilant. Back in Ephesians, it says that we're supposed to walk circumspectly, which means that we're looking around. But it says here, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, he's not your friend.
Right.
He's not your friend. And James writes, he says, that friendship with the world is enmity with God. Christ himself says you can't serve two masters. He says, your adversary, don't make friends with the adversary. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. What we need is we need the full protection of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, it says this, put on the whole armor of God. Well, it weighs too much. It's too much to ask. No, the whole armor of God. That ye may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. That's the way he operates. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. There are people that go out and they, I rebuke the devil. You better be careful of that. You better be careful of that. You know, the devil is a formidable adversary. And only God can give us the victory. You can't do it on your own. Jude chapter 1, verse 9. There's this interesting verse that says, yet Michael, the archangel, so a very strong angel, when contending with the what? Devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, doth not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. See, it's God's house. We are God's people. It's God's fight. And Satan has to be obedient to God. And so don't try to do this on your own. We can only do this by the what? The grace of God, which we talked about this morning. So, once again, we're going to use the word Satan. We're going to use each letter as the point of our message this morning, or tonight. The first one is Satan is subtle. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, but I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know something? What's the simplicity in Christ? It's either truth or error. It's either righteousness or it's evil. It's either light or it's dark. Genesis 3:1 says that the serpent was the what? The most beautiful creature. Most beautiful creature there. And that's what enticed. See, Satan is inviting. He's a sly fox. Okay? But in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, it says this. It says, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Those who know end time prophecy know that the Antichrist and the beast will do things that Christ has been attributed to. And it will deceive many. And God will send them strong delusion that they would believe the lie. And in Matthew 24 and 25, it says, "And he'll be able to deceive the very elect." So, I'm smarter than him. No. Okay, take heed where you stand, lest you what? You fall. So we need to understand that Satan is subtle because he's inviting. And we must resist the tempter. In James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." You can't, if you take this backwards, if you resist God, you submit yourself to the devil. So the first thing that we need to do is submit yourselves therefore to God. And resist the devil, and he will what? Flee with you. And it says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." So the first thing about Satan is, he goes around as a roaring lion, but you know, a lion doesn't roar when he catches its prey. It roars to say that it's there and to scare you into stuff, which is the second point. He's an afflictor. In Job chapter 2, verse 7, we know how this all got started. We went through the book of Job. And basically, God allowed Satan to go and touch Job. God allowed Satan to take away all of Job's wealth. God allowed Satan to take away all of Job's kids. God allowed Satan to take away his health. It says, "So when went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown." See, Satan is in the business of afflicting God's people. This morning we used the illustration of Paul and his thorn in the flesh as an example of grace being sufficient. And 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, here's where Paul recognizes where this thorn in the flesh came from. And so he has all these revelations. He's been able to see heaven. He's been able to look into things that you can't even write about. And he says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure or get too proud." Okay? "Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And here's the key thing that you need to understand. Paul knew where this was from because he stated it. He said, "The messenger of Satan to buffet me." He understood that. He must have had discernment. He must have understood truth. "So the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measures." And so Satan is in the business of afflicting us bodily. He's also in the business of afflicting our path or our ability to walk for God and to do God's will. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 18, we see this. It says, "Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again," but what? "Satan hindered us." See, Satan is in the business of afflicting God's people. Satan's in the business of afflicting you. Satan's in the business of afflicting your path, your direction, your lifestyle. All that live godly will what? Suffer persecution. So the first thing is that Satan's in the business of afflicting. But what we need to understand is that God is greater and more powerful than Satan. These are simple things, but you know something? We're supposed to be simple with Christ. Right or wrong, light or dark, truth or error. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our what? Faith. So God is greater and more powerful than Satan. Remember, Michael said, "The Lord rebuke thee." In Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet." Now, once again, look, it's not you doing it, it's God doing it through you. It's God doing it through you. "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." That's how we ended this morning. And God's grace is greater than Satan's attacks.
Amen.
So Satan is subtle. Satan is an afflictor. He will deliver. He will help. He will heal. And he will strengthen those who trust in him. Satan's also a tempter. In Mark chapter 1, verse 13, Christ is in the wilderness after he gets baptized. "And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him." Now, Christ in his physical body being out for 40 days is probably at his weakest point. When we are at our weakest, that's when Satan will attack, because we have less resistance. So give us this day our what? Daily bread. We need to walk it daily. We're supposed to put on the new man here. So Satan tried to get Christ to yield to lust. Had to do it, because Christ said the word of God is greater than what Satan was tempting Christ with. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, it says, "For we have not," that was the verse before, "let us boldly approach the throne of grace, that we can find, obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Here it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." You know, here's the point about the tempter. You don't have to give in to him. You don't have to be defeated by him. You don't have to face a losing battle. So Satan tried to do it, and you know something? Satan does the same pattern on us. We are wise to his devices. We're not ignorant of his devices. Let me give you three examples here. David. We could talk about him succumbing to the temptation of Bathsheba. You know why? Because he wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was supposed to be out with the army. He was supposed to be fighting God's enemies and Israel's enemies. But because he wasn't where he was supposed to be, he got tempted and succumbed to the temptation. Later on, as he becomes king, and his power and his wealth and his fame goes, and he's got a bigger army than anything else, anybody else in the region at that time. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1 says, "And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel." And after that, you know, David was given three choices. He says you could have 3 years of famine, or three months of pestilence, or three months of something, I forget, and then 3 days of pestilence. And so choose. And so David chooses the 3 days of pestilence, and 70,000 Israelites died. Folks, when we don't stand for God, we allow the tempter to come in. It has a negative impact on those around you. So we need to understand that. So David, in his position of power, he gets tempted by Satan, and he provoked him to number Israel, which God said, don't do it. His general said, don't do it. People around said, don't. Hey, I got a clue for y'all. If someone's coming up to say, you ought to not do that, you better listen to them. That may be God speaking to you through someone else. So, that's Old Testament. New Testament. Ananias. Ananias was part of the early church, and they were all selling all this stuff, and they were having all things common. And Ananias and Sapphira had made a deal that they were going to sell this property and tell a lie. Who's the father of lies? Satan. Okay. That they sold the property for less than what they really sold it, and they were keeping the difference and making a big deal about giving this to the church. And so Peter comes in, and Sapphira comes in and says, hey, did you sell the property? Yeah, we sold the property. What did you sell it for? This much. Boom, she drops dead. Okay? Ananias, it says, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? He falls down dead. See, Satan is so subtle that he makes us go on the wrong path. And even in our affliction, we don't care. And then all of a sudden, we come to this heart issue. And we'll make the wrong decision. And we will defraud God. So Satan uses the same pattern as us. We see this part in David. We see the part in Ananias. And he also does it in the church. I'm sorry. I should have showed the verse. But he also does it in the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5, it says, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, Paul was praying to the Thessalonica church. He says, I have sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. See, when we start following Satan, we're basically saying that God's not worth it. That all that stuff that God's, all those blessings and everything that we've had, it's not important to us. And we'll go off the wrong path. So Satan uses the same pattern on us, Old Testament David, New Testament Ananias, and then also the church. See, we need to know, like Paul, where these temptations come from. The devil made me do it? No, you did it. But I guarantee you, who doesn't tempt you? God does not tempt you. James chapter 1 verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. So these trials that come in your life, that you allow in your life, you did it. God just allowed it because you weren't following God. It's a test. It's a test. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's how Christ was tempted in the wilderness. That's how all these that we just had for an example were tempted too. And that's how we're tempted here. James says every man's sin when he's drawn away of his own lust, and every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and what? Enticed. And when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. When sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. So we see that Satan is subtle. We see that he's the afflicter. We see that he is a tempter. Lastly, or next, he is the accuser. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." You know, Satan wants to stick our sin in God's face and say, see how faithless that person is. See how unholy that person. You call them your children and they do that. See, Satan accuses Christians of defeat, failure, hypocrisy, and evil. So every time we have a spiritual defeat, we're giving place to the devil. Every time that we fail to follow God, we're giving place to the devil. Every time we're a hypocrite spiritually, we're giving place to the devil. We studied the book of Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 3, we see this vision of heaven, and we see Joshua the high priest. In Zechariah 3 verse 1, here's a good picture of this. And it said, "He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him." See, here's this picture of Satan in heaven and God's man or woman in heaven, and Satan sitting there saying, see this? You go on in this chapter, it talks about Joshua having dirty robes. He was defiled. And so what does God say to the angel of the Lord, who's a type of Christ? He says, put new robes on him. Cleanse him. Clean him up so he can be presentable in my sight. See, Satan accuses Christians of defeat, failure, hypocrisy, and evil. We must declare as Christ did. Luke chapter 4, verse 8. When Satan's tempted in the wilderness, and Satan answered and said unto him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." We have a choice tonight. We have a choice who you're going to serve. It's either God, and if it's not God, it is Satan. We must defeat him through faith. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16 says this, "Above all," after you get through this whole armor of God description, "above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench," how many of the fiery darts? "All the fiery darts of the wicked." The fiery darts are the attacks. They're those subtle attacks. There's those attacks of affliction. There's those attacks of temptation. Don't give place to the devil to allow him to accuse us before God of not being faithful to God. Amen? Lastly, he's a national deceiver. You can turn on the news. You can compare what's going on in the world today with your Bible. And you can see that we are in the last days. Amen. We are in the last days. You know, well, I'll come back to it. I'll change my ways. You know, Satan never will change. Even when he's put in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Never will change. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 8, it says, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the what? The nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. See, Satan is out operating today. This morning we'd say he's the prince in power of the air. And he's working to defeat us nationally. He was working to defeat Israel nationally. Try to go into idolatry and not follow God's word. See, Satan is trying to delude, defraud, and defeat God's power, God's people, and God's purpose. I'm not going to give any more scriptures because you know that this is absolutely the truth. You would have to be blind to not see this. Look at what happened after the Supreme Court decision about the reversal of abortion. All of a sudden, everybody's going, we got to save this right. No, it's death. Right. It's murder.
Right.
Amen. You're just showing, I don't care who you say you are, or what religion you say, or how faithful you say you are to God. If you back abortion, you're wrong.
That's right.
And you're a murderer. If you back homosexuality, you're wrong. And you're unholy. That's what God's word says. And Satan is getting into God's people. He's getting into the church. And he's deluding people. It's not that bad. See, we need to understand that our national defense is in God. In Psalm chapter 33, verse 12, it says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. This morning I made reference to Romans chapter 8. We need to understand that God makes us conquerors. Romans 16 says that he will put Satan under our feet shortly. He will. Okay? Romans chapter 8 verses 37 and 39 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to give you a word of encouragement. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you go in this highest mountain, he's there. If you go in the east, he's there. The west, he's there. In the lowest depths of the sea, he's there. He'll never leave you. But the key here is in verse 38. For I am persuaded. You know how Satan gets into a Christian's life? You're not persuaded. We're not sold out to God. We're not surrendered to God. If we're firmly persuaded in faith to follow him, then he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Do not be complacent with your spiritual walk. Do not be flippant with God's word. Do not be accepting of the world's system. Do not love things more than God. Get all these things out of your life. You can't resist Satan unless you have a relationship with him. You must be born again. You must be born again. God gave his all on the cross for us, that we could have everlasting life.
Amen.
And from that point on, he gives us grace. And his grace is sufficient in all things. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to resist the devil and have him flee. Father, he has no right here. He has no place here. And Father, I just ask that he just go and leave us tonight. That we would fight the fight of faith, and Father, that he would not bother us, Lord, because of our faith in you, because you're greater than he. Lord, give us your will. Help us to glorify you in this time. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.
The Lord.